your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts are own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You used to be my sweetest song. Turns out the auto-tune was on. You used to be more than lies. Turns out it was just CGI. Once upon a stupid time, you lived rent-free inside my stupid mind. Thought without you I would die. So funny how since you've been gone, I'm singing hallelujah.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. From that song, from my first time I heard that song, I in a conundrum. Because I want somebody to break up with, man. That's a beautiful breakup song. I need somebody. That's even more beautiful. Then is it Shine song on the birthday mix rhythm? When he say, man, I celebrating the day I walk away from you. It's a beautiful breakup song. And Bahamians just all over the world, filling our hearts with culture and music and creativity. And we're just informing every space that we go into. It's Monday, the 28th of July, 2025. And what a time to be alive. What a time to be a Bahamian. Welcome to On the Clock with Green. We got lots to talk about today. And I've got joining me today via Zoom this morning, Mr. Don Sargent from the Eye Opener. Good morning, Don.
Good yawning this morning.
Good yawning this morning. How you do?
Excellent, excellent. I hope you're doing well as well.
I am. I'm doing very well because I expected a massive traffic backup after news was shared about a traffic incident where a dump truck or a large vehicle snagged a couple of low-hanging power lines, and it caused a bit of an uproar this morning. But by the time I hit the road, the Shirley Street corridor was relatively clear, save for people who were on their phone the whole way up. Other than that, it was a smooth ride, and I was so pleased. Like, look, an incident happens, and they're able to isolate it, close the road so that they could, you know, bring in the infrastructure or the tools necessary to repair it, and they were in the process of repairing or maybe at the very least rehanging overhead lines at the Shirley Street, Hawkins Hill, Armstrong Street intersection. So I was quite pleased by that. But okay, I got a couple of little housekeeping notes, and then let's get into what's in the news, eh?
Shoot.
All right, so I want to remind you guys of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. Four winners. One winner will be selected from New Providence, one from Grand Bahama, one from San Salvador, because that is the island at the root of this mystery, and one from the rest of the family islands. To be a winner, you need to submit two pieces of information. The first one is the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. That's the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death, the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. To play the game, you call the show, let us know you want to play the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, and we'll transfer you to the producer. You're going to give the producer all your information, well, not all your business, but your name, if you're the parent calling, the student's name, school, class, and the two correct answers. If you don't submit the two correct answers, we will let you know and you get a chance to play again. This is the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, organized by Dennis Bethel, Dennis Carlton Bethel, great-great-great-great-grandson of Loyalist Charles Farquharson. Also, we're going to share this appeal every day until they tell us. We don't have to. I mean, I got lots to talk about every day, but I'm going to try and slide it in as much as possible. We got a campaign, people. We got to contribute to. Please help save Sarge. Jay Sargent, that's from the roots. That's War Daddy. That's War Daddy. War Daddy could call up 100 million, billion, trillion Bahamian soldier crab, land crab, conch, whatever, when the time is ready. So we need to make sure that we answer the call when Jay Sargent calls. He's currently in need of immediate financial assistance for hospital bills and life-saving care. Donations can be sent directly to his bank account in the Bahamas under the name Jay Sargent, Bank Scotiabank, location East Bay Street, Bahamas, branch number 50385. That's branch number 50385. Account number 1929. It's branch 5, account number 1929. Name Jay Sargent, Bank Scotia Bank, location East Bay Street. Let's do this one for Sarge. Okay, I want to remind you that Equality Bahamas is continuing its workshop developing feminist standards for governance. The next general election will be held by October 2026. Would you like to have a say in what happens from 2026 to 2031? We invite you, that's Equality Bahamas invites you to join us in developing feminist standards for governance, setting a standard for political parties and candidates to meet should they want our votes in order to represent us. Whether your interest and or expertise is in health, education, social services, the economy, or another sector, you are welcome and your inputs will be valued. You don't have to have a job title, degree, or specific experience. You just need to be supportive of human rights for all, open to others' ideas, and willing to share your insights. Reach out to Equality Bahamas online for details for sessions. Also, this Wednesday, join Equality Bahamas at Ponciana Paper Press for a DIY bookmaking session with Sonia Farmer. You'll be spending some time writing together, then having fun using magazines, newspapers, and other materials to create the pages of your very own zine, which is short for magazine, small book. This is one of our favorite activities because everyone revels in the joy of adult arts and crafts. Be warned, no one ever wants the fun to stop. Come early, get creative, and take your own copy of your collective publication home with you, or a copy of the collective publication that will be created home with you. So that's Wednesday, July the 30th, and you could stop in that evening for more details about the Developing Feminist Standards for Governance workshops. Okay, on Friday, I left the show after announcing we've got a ticket giveaway. I want to start it right now. All right, listen. Ghosts of Gombe is giving away two tickets to the August 2nd showing. On July 31st, the Pulse of Bahamian Heritage will thunder once again as Ghosts of Gombe opens up at the University of the Bahamas Performing Arts Center under the patronage of Duke Errol Strawn, the last living Gombe legend. This vibrant musical review promises three unforgettable nights celebrating the golden age of Bahamian music. Ghosts of Gombe was conceived by Patrick Ramming. It's being directed by Valine Roll, one of the youngest creative phenoms in the country. She's young and energetic director. She's in the spot for two Impro Wives. Just a talented young lady. You got to go online and search Vividly Val for her music collection. She's the writer and original performer of Conk and Mango Don't Grow on the Same Tree. And so today we're giving away two tickets to one winner. Two tickets to one winner for Ghosts of Gombe, and I've got a trivia question for you. Now, producer, send me the text line, please. Here are the numbers to call. So everybody have them one time. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. Text line 422-GR96. And here is the question. What Gumbe drummer was discovered by quote-unquote James Bond and became Neil Diamond's percussionist? What Gumbe drummer was discovered by the James Bond franchise and became Neil Diamond's percussionist? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners, 422-GR96. Producer, I see the phone line is lit. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Is it King Harrison?
It is King Harrison.
Yay!
Yes, yeah, so you're the winner. Okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to hold the line, and the producer will pick you up. But before you go, are you going to give him your contact information so that I could put it on the envelope for you to come and collect at the Guardian? Okay? All right, so how do you know about King Harrison?
I listened to your show.
Okay, there you go. Well, listen, when did you... Because, you know, I was like Friday years old, last week years old, when I found out that King Harrison played for the Neil Diamond touring band for 40 years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, it is absolutely amazing. So we got a young intern in studio, right? And I ask him if he know who Neil Diamond is. He said no. I say, I ask him if you know. I played the song. The song started playing. He said, I don't know that song. But as soon as the chorus hit,
yeah,
Sweet Caroline, everybody in the world knows that song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now hopefully everybody in the Bahamas knows that we are a part of that song.
I guess that's why we love it so much.
That too. But sometimes, you know, you be walking around the Bahamas and New Providence in particular, and you look at these people, you say, man, why they look so biggity? Why they look like they own the ground that they walk on? Sometimes it's because they know parts of ourselves that just empower them and make them feel more powerful about themselves. Anyway, thank you very much. Hold the line. The producer's going to take your information, and your tickets will be downstairs waiting for you at, say, 12:05, noon o'clock today. Okay, there we go. Mr. Sergeant, how you do? Dawn, you still in the Zoom room?
Yeah, you should be able to hear me now, right?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Great, excellent. Yeah, I still am.
All right, you took a look at any of the headlines for this morning?
We had the displeasure of seeing the news on the power line being down in the Doswell Street area by the garbage collection truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like, well, it was some videos of it as well. It looked like it was some of the lines were partially on fire.
Yeah.
And I went and I started to research, like, how often does this actually happen? And how many news stories / videos could I find? And it isn't fairly common, but it happens more often than we like to admit. Or someone crashes into a lamp pole and then power goes off in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I question sometimes, you know, like, when we rebuild these things, should we be putting them underground? Is it safer?
Well,
I don't know, because that area floods. So I don't know.
Yeah, right. I think there's a couple of things that arise, right? The first is, to what extent is the transmission and distribution system, BPL, being unduly impacted by bad drivers, accidents, recklessness, poles being knocked down, just poles being hit and at an angle, right? Which could, over time, cause a massive problem. To what extent is bad driving or the driving behavior of the general public impacting the provision of electricity and the cost of electricity? Because who pays for the infrastructure that has to be replaced, right? And who pay? And then on the second side, who pays for the loss of time and the loss of productivity because businesses don't have electricity? Because businesses can't keep delivery schedules, because service providers can't meet their timelines because of unnecessary traffic caused by delays due to accidents. Right? And I wonder if the Ministry of Transport is conducting studies on these things, right? I wonder if the Jitney Association, right, is conducting studies on these things. So stronger lobby for the enhancement of support and the growth of the public transportation system, right? Like, I just wonder if people are thinking about it at that level. I also wonder if the utility companies are impressing upon their service providers or their subcontractors the need to adhere to the law when erecting or reinstalling power lines, utility lines, and service lines.
The question then becomes then is, like, you do cost benefit analysis of it. Is it cheaper to just put them on the ground to avoid them being struck? In term, I know it's costlier to obviously put underground power lines, but in terms of how many times you have to rebuild these things from hurricanes, someone hitting them, I think certain areas would benefit from this. One area in particular, I think, Aaron, would be Blue Hills South.
Mm-hmm.
There, I don't know if you drive down there frequently, but it's basically insanity. There's one particular lamp pole that's on a corner on Blue Hill Road in the intersection. It's not a proper four-way intersection, but it just ended up becoming one. And frequently in the morning or late at night,
mm-hmm.
whether they're under the influence of alcohol or not, I don't know, but they frequently have struck the lamp pole, which then collides with someone's wall. I think that wall has been knocked down 5 times that I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
And when every time that happens, the power goes off.
Yeah.
So the question is just like, they put like little protective poles in front of it, and people have used big trucks to hit through the protective poles into the lamp pole, into that person's wall, knocking the lamp pole into their yard. So I just question, like, why? Just put it on the ground. You've rebuilt this 5 times now.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even further to that, so it means that that particular intersection needs to be changed or revamped, right? You need more lights in the area. Is it a question of, I'm going to say...
Well, I would say, Aaron, now that you bring that point up, it is, we should have designed that area properly in the first place. We had this conversation recently nationally about liquor stores, the provision of liquor stores being, you know, concentrated in certain areas, and there are too many of them. Blue Hill South is a good example of this. If you drive past the Golden Gates Plaza, driving south on Blue Hill, there are 2 liquor stores right in front of one another. It blocks traffic because people are reversing or pulling into either one of the liquor stores right in front of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And right, like a block away from that, heading south, is that same lamp pole I'm talking about that's on a corner. So the issue we also have is we do not, have not, and continue to not have proper town planning when we do these things. And the public are the ones who pay the price for us, or this negligence and consistent refusal to improve. But town planning is absolutely essential and seems to be non-existent.
Well, listen, I didn't know we were going to... I do have this story I wanted to talk about, to throw by you. It's in Friday's Tribune. Casey's alarm over death knell for development. Right? And it speaks to an issue in the western part of New Providence and the operation of Town Planning Committee. Producer, let's prep that caller. Let me start here. An attorney yesterday warned that permitting the ad hoc removal of restrictive covenants will be, quote, the death knell for orderly development in the Bahamas, close quotes. Gail Lockhart, Charles Casey, who is representing New Providence Development Company and Old Fort Bay Company, told Tribune Business a, quote, complete breakdown of the planning process in the Bahamas, close quotes, will occur if the Town Planning Committee approves the joint request from 5 property owners to extinguish the, quote, restrictive covenants, close quotes, governing the development of their Western Road land parcels, right? So there are 5 property owners. They all the pieces of property sit next to each other in the Western District. That corridor, this is a quote from the article that says, that corridor would consist of Albany, Lyford Key, Old Fort Bay, it was said, right? And so essentially, there is an issue arising over whether town planning has the authority to remove some covenants, right, attached to the purchase and operation of land. I thought it's an interesting article. I think people should take a look at it because the inner city isn't the only place where we have in major issues with town planning. But let's stick a pin and go to the phone line. Oh, sorry, I missed you, caller. Let's see what's happening. We can go back. I'm going to go back to the article. The five property owners. Caller, just hold the line for me. We're going to go to that caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Hi, good, thank you. How you do?
Hey, really, yeah. I was curious about that situation, what you mentioned before on the show. Someone, a caller, called before and said on Awa Key is actually a liquor store on the sidewalk. So I said, let me do my investigation on this area.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe it. A liquor store is actually, he ain't there no lie, is actually on the sidewalk.
Not a bar, a liquor
bar,
store.
Look here, this old bar.
Okay, I got you.
About, they got about 1,000 drinks there. You could literally not walk past it. It's literally right there.
Listen, I was on Arawaki this Saturday. I went to go look for a crisis center event. It was taking place. I ended up in the wrong place. But I met an event out there and some young enterprising sisters. I think they're the Platinum Sisters. Anyway, they had organized this little event. And I saw last week. There are booths on the sidewalk. There are cars. They've turned a portion of that area with tile, you know, into a parking lot. They already have designated.
I parked there.
They already have designated parking for taxis. They've turned that area into a parking lot. It's also turned into, I guess, into a parking bay for ATVs and tour vehicles. There are booths on the sidewalk. There are vehicles everywhere that they shouldn't be. And then there's a video that's floating around where this woman is protesting that her neighbor is encroaching on her property on the fry. And she's talking about her property as... And leaves the viewer to infer that she thinks she owns it. And the people then building with coal on, they building with concrete on Arawaki.
Wow.
And when Arawaki first started, it was supposed to be temporary vendors. You set up and at the end of the day, there's no site, no evidence of you being there. And it's quickly evolved into a shanty town. Right in front of the police, right in front of Fort Charlotte, one of your most important historic monuments in the country. Anyway, caller.
Make it make sense.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
Thanking you. To that caller that I just lost call back, man. Don.
I was going to say something else. Also, during certain times of the month, when they import a large parking lot, at Arawaki turns into the private parking for car dealerships.
Yeah. Right? And so these three examples...
Well, this is common, isn't it, right? We also have the example of the nice hotel property in front of the office of the prime minister where the sidewalk as well as the median turns into a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... There's no, when it comes to like town planning and law and order in this town, it feels to me as a citizen to be virtually non-existent.
It can't be existent. I'm trying to pull up very quickly from my notes recent stories about amendments, I guess, to regulations governing the licensing of liquor stores, and specifically in reference to their proximity to schools. Carla, I see you. Give me a second. I can put you on deck. And so the first story I saw emanated out of Abaco, and you know they said, "Look, we're glad that almost like we've come to agreement of 700 meters. Like any liquor store has to be at least 700 meters." Away from a school. But I thought, hold on, didn't we already establish this? Like, why are we having this conversation? I'm certain that this has been established through legislation long time, right? And then, and in New Providence, but we could see on Charles Sanders Highway, on Bernard Road, right? You've got, and those are two that are are prominent for me. You got liquor stores everywhere. And it seems, okay, so here's one article. Bell decries oversaturation of liquor stores. Nassau Guardian, 18th of June. Liquor stores, no challenge with revised license regime. Nassau Tribune, 30th of May. Let me go to this caller. Let's see what they're talking about. Maybe we get back to those stories as well. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Good morning to your guests, too. I didn't want to call about the liquor store. I want to talk about something else. But do you know from Soldier Road, heading south to the police station,
mm-hmm.
there has to be at least close to 15 to 20 liquor stores.
It's making sense.
And out of the 15 to 20, here it is. And you can check it out.
Mm-hmm.
At least 15 to 16 of them are owned by Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I didn't call on that. What I call on is any type of thing people can get charged for attempted suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still in...
Either one or two things. They need to... Either people just trying to do this for attention, to get some type of attention from somebody. Because the easiest thing in life to do is to kill yourself.
It ain't that easy.
You don't need no... What you mean it ain't that easy, Ms. Green, if you're serious with killing yourself? If I were to kill myself now, all I have to do is take a knife and chuck in my neck.
See, people aren't... People aren't serious about killing themselves.
No, they were looking for attention.
No, some people are serious about ending the perceived pain, and they can't figure out how to end the pain that they're feeling, whether it's like real physical pain or psychological or emotional pain, which is real as well, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a struggle, but it's not always as easy, you know, as you think.
But Ms. Green, I've never, all of my time on
yeah.
earth, I've never heard nobody get charged for attempted suicide.
Which is possibly a good thing, because I think that it's counterproductive to charge people who are attempting suicide with a crime. Now,
if you attempted murder, you get charged.
Yes.
That's a form of murder.
No, it's not a form of...
You're killing yourself.
It's a homicide, but it's not murder.
It's homicide, murder.
But then we have to raise the question about bodily autonomy, and whether you have the right to make decisions about your body and your life experience. And then they can get very touchy, and we can get in our feelings and touches because they.
Let
get,
me close on this.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, a gentleman ran on the bridge and jumped off. He jumped in the water. He wasn't serious. He's looking for attention. He wants somebody to feel sorry for him. He wasn't serious.
So watch this. You're absolutely right. Hold on. You're absolutely right. If people are looking for attention, then what's the indictment on the rest of us?
Somebody need to show them some type of attention.
Uh-huh.
Somebody need to sit down and listen to them.
Yeah.
I guess the person who they want to listen to them ain't listening to them.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear from me and you. Some particular lover, some particular friend, they want to get their attention, I think.
So let's think about it. You think about the mother whose children have gone no contact. The children just, whatever happened in the relationship, the children say no contact. Now think about the mother whose yearning and desire to be with her children could only be resolved by being with her children. Ain't nobody else could resolve it for any. Nobody else could fill that space, you know?
But I heard yesterday, there was a gentleman that went to court for stealing a loaf of bread,
mm-hmm.
and the judge charged him $50. But what the judge did, they had five people left in court, and the judge charged each one of them $10 for having a man that lives among them that has to steal a loaf of bread to feed his family.
Yeah.
So the judge charged everybody in the court $10. They paid him a $50 fine.
That's what you call restorative justice.
Okay.
You know.
That was good.
I like that, and I like the spirit of it, you know?
Just because we fail to help that person.
Yeah.
With help. Somebody knew he needed help.
Absolutely.
You know, but I got to continue listening. You know, you have... You know you're the safest one in Guardian Radio, eh?
Man, listen.
Yeah.
Scared up.
You don't play softball.
Yeah.
You know when you reach home, they say safe.
Yeah.
You safe.
Man, look here. If I lucky enough to go sit under the dilly tree with Corinne and Helen and Aunt Clara and Steven, Daddy-O, right? If I lucky enough to go sit under that tree with the ancestors,
yeah.
I don't want them to look at me with a disappointed look on their face.
No, you safe.
Thank you, Uncle.
You safe.
You have a wonderful day.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Dawn.
Yep.
Okay, Texas here says, Aaron, just like the gay subject, y'all need to tread lightly because attempted suicide is a cry for help. And thank God they failed at it. Imagine everyone is on your back and no one cares, like the caller, no empathy. But Texter, with the caller, do you see what we did with the caller? Me and the caller walked through to the point where you could see that the caller does have empathy, right? Like the caller was trying to use a device to draw people into the conversation so that they could see the irony, right? Like of what he said, that in fact, it is also us. Like, why are you charging them? If they see, and there are people there who should be providing the attention. So, Texter, I'm glad that you made the intervention, and I hope that you tuned in to watch me and the caller walk through to that point where we acknowledge how it is that people get to that place. You know, and that's important too. Be out here stressing, people out here stressing out. I out here stressing out, and I even got no children. Imagine the people who have children. Dawn.
Yep.
Dawn Sargent from the Eye Opener. So, this back to this article, unless you want to chime in on what the gentleman just said.
No, I mean, only thing I was going to add is just that under the laws of the Bahamas, suicide is considered a misdemeanor. I don't know of any cases of someone being charged, and I don't think we should be charging people. I think that should actually change on the books. I think a lot of things should change on the books. But the current political dispensation, and not any particular parties, there seems to be no interest within any of the parties to change some of the antiquated, ancient laws to the betterment of the people. So here we are.
I thought for a second, okay, there may be value in the criminal device, right? There may be value in charging someone with attempted suicide because maybe it enables or empowers the state to then intervene and direct that individual to services, right? But could we replace that with another legal mechanism? So if it has been, you know, if you are suspected or if it's been determined that you attempted suicide, then there is a legal mandate to have you, what's the word, when they send you into rehab, right? Like to have you admitted into a psychological and emotional health and wellness rehabilitation program. And so maybe there is some value in that device, but in this modern time, we need to expand it and use the legal mechanisms that are available to us that we could model from other countries. But we get a lot of calls on the line. Oh, go on, Don.
No, I was going to say perhaps. That's the perspective, but I reckon the reason why these things still exist today is just nobody changed them.
So. Yeah, they've been ignored, right? We forgot about them. But let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Ms. Aaron? How are you doing?
Thank you. How are you?
Okay. This is Jeff Stewart. I just want to follow through with your previous caller who spoke about the man who was charged for stealing a loaf of bread.
Yes, sir.
On how the court charged the people $10 each for allowing him to get in that state?
Yes.
What about the people who prosecuted him? Don't you think that's sort of ridiculous to prosecute that man for a loaf of bread?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then they could have taken the bread back from him?
Yep. The people who pressed charges, possibly they could have dropped the charges once they became aware of the circumstances the individual is living with.
Yeah, I think that is ridiculous that they would even prosecute a man for thieving a loaf of bread.
And in this instance, I wondered, you know, just momentarily whether the judge's hands are tied. Because remember, the judge can't tell Parliament to change the law.
No.
And the judge,
I agree with that, and but I'm saying, obviously, if somebody steals a loaf of bread, and I'm not condoning their action in any way, but, you know, it's like these fellas go and steal a loaf of bread, and they're prosecuted before court. People who are stealing thousands, millions dollars, and nothing happens to them.
Yep, I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is I'm hoping that this peace, like this restorative justice that the judge applied in that moment is so kind of fantastic, like ridiculous, that the legislature has to pay attention, right? And perhaps that's what the judge is intending to do, to force the legislators, because somebody may get up and say, why am I being charged $10? I gonna appeal this, I gotta go talk to somebody. But hopefully that'll force the legislators to address what is a overt problem, which is we must have alternate mechanisms available to deal with people like this. In the States, in many jurisdictions, or in many states of America, they don't prosecute you for stealing food.
Well, I think it's a waste of time myself because, you know, the cost of a presentation that to the court is much more than giving the fella a little break.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying because if everybody do it, then you really got a big problem.
Yes.
But on another matter, right?
Yes, sir.
I've observed in the Cable Beach area, right opposite the Prime Minister's office, everybody is parking on the verges. And everybody is parking on the median. And even in some cases, parking on the sidewalks. I'm wondering, is this a new trend that we are developing?
Hold on.
Because the police passes there every day and they leave these vehicles there.
So
I thought they should be towed.
We have been having an extended conversation about the circumstances that have led to that dynamic. Let me stun you even further. Allegedly, and this is printed in dailies, allegedly the owner of the development where the majority of those cars are told the staff, y'all could go park in the Prime Minister's office, look at the big, beautiful parking lot. I paraphrased that part there. But you go park in the Prime Minister parking lot. So for one instance, I'm almost like, I'm like, no, I'm glad that they're not parking in the Prime Minister's parking lot, because that's, I don't even know what to call that. Right, but there's a problem. Everybody's aware of it, and nobody's going to do anything about it until a tragic and unfortunate event where some tourists get knocked down because of a lack of visibility in the road.
Well, which takes us a little further. Why are these developers allowed to develop property without adequate parking spaces for their customers or their workers?
Hold on. For their residents, the particular entity that is allegedly at the center of those cars on the median said in the media that when they designed the complex, that they did, that they intentionally designed it so that not all the residents get a full parking space. So, like, all the units, you got a two-bedroom unit, but it don't have two parking spots.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, why are they allowed to do that?
Sir, we've been trying to actively on the show, and with all of the now sort of public attention to the situation, we're still all wondering who is in charge. did the mayor of Abaco tell somebody in Nassau, look here, you could be the mayor of Cable Beach. All you got to do is get up in a church service and say it.
Uh-huh. Well, anyhow, I must say, I enjoy your show. I don't listen to too many of these people talking, but your responses are usually well researched and well thought out. I must commend you for that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You have a wonderful day.
You too, Matt.
All right. Don, let's go to the phone line quickly, Don. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, still there. Aaron, Don.
Hey, he's still there.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about wondering who is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think on what the developments that have been happening recently with Oka being stuck with making decisions here, yes, no, how we go. I think the media is in charge, you know.
The media?
Huh?
The media?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just feel as though you just need a little drop of AI on a course to actually force people to see. Okay, here's the deal. There was a time when I contemplated suicide. I mean, bring the story from this angle.
Yes, sir.
Right? And not that I needed counseling, because I was always getting the pronoun mixed up with the noun. Here's the noun. The noun is self.
Mm-hmm.
The pronoun, I got a bunch of them. Myself, yourself, all them other selves.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this conversation always going on between one of themselves and self. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just realized that the only person I could really love is self.
Mm-hmm.
Because all them other selves that them other people have me read about in these books that the British people print for me to learn about, they ain't done talk about self, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I realized, I have a reason to be here, man. I have to look after self, because there's plenty of other selves that they need to be thinking of. And listen, the most grievous crime that could ever be committed in life is a crime against children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if we don't protect our children, we can have an issue with self.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're seeing it right now.
Yeah, all right, then. So the only person I love right now is self.
I got you.
All right.
Loving yourself first, that's where you start.
And I find the rest of them other selves, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my dear.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Producer, let's go look quickly, and then Dawn, we're going to get back at it. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron, and how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
You know, Aaron, I just want to raise something with you that I raised on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I know it must be a lot of work for you talk show hosts and you guys in media, where over the last several years, you've been coming on radio, preparing for these shows to discuss these socioeconomic issues and how we can move and develop the country forward. But on the other hand, I have to be critical of media, you know, because right now when this silly season sets in on these, because you'll be going into an election next year, what are going to happen to all of these issues and these callers who call in who are making these valiant contributions? Everything is going to get lost in the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? And they're going to get placed on the back burner. You know why? Because of live debate. We allow these people who are auditioning for the highest elected office in the land. It ain't the prime minister, you know, it's members of parliament. That's the highest elected office in the land. And we give them a blind by allowing them to be standing on the podium cracking jokes while we're getting drunk, laughing, and listening to them. All of these issues that you talk about, all your hard work put in. And I believe it's incumbent for the media to drive this effort, to give us this tool, whereas we can see whether these people who are vying for office are fit and ready to serve in these high office. Won't you agree with that?
I'm agreeing with you that the media is perhaps the most effective and powerful tool that the people have, and that they should be able to rely on, right, to present information, to present spaces where you could interrogate the information critically, to provide spaces where people could feedback, right? They could respond to what they're hearing. And I agree with you. That's why in the States, the media is called the fourth estate. It is so vital. How do we grow this space, right, to enable it to be able to provide that as free and fair as possible?
Okay, we have all of these radio stations. We have the print media. We have everybody. Why can't you all come together as one and drive the political debates in every constituency? That's you all have everything, all of the mechanisms and tools you all have.
I see what you're saying. A specific campaign or program, project, where all the media houses come together to provide a platform for debates at all levels in all constituencies. But most importantly, if the media comes together and provides the platform, then the politicians, the aspirants, the candidates, they can't say no, because it's right there. I got you. No, man, I got you.
Aaron, but the thing about it is, too, when you talk politically, they automatically go to the leaders of these respective parties. But that is not the key. Then the key components who are the members of parliament, they get away.
Yeah.
We should have everybody debating. We should triangle whether these people have common sense and intelligence, whether they have the ability to sit down, not only with us, with world leaders to discuss these global issues, but we find out that some people don't even know how to count numbers, then we elect them after we elect them. All of this thing we get to see after, when the dust is settled and cleared and things get back to normal, these people are in office, but they don't, they're not fit, they're not ready to serve because they got away, because we prefer to choose rallies, crack and joke,
and personality politics,
as opposed to political live debate. If they don't have it what it takes, you'll find out before you vote for them and eliminate them. But and when I mean eliminate, I mean in terms of not electing them to office.
Yeah, yeah, we understand. But listen, I got two more callers on the line. Let me sum it up. It's almost as if, you know, they will dampen and lessen the level of debate as opposed to strengthen the power of the party whip. In Britain, the party whip, he done whip about four of them and tell them, but he all on a thin line. I get ready to fire all of y'all. About four or five backbenchers the party whip had to talk to. You know, why would you lessen the quality of the public debate versus strengthen your internal party mechanism so you could better control what your candidates say?
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Hey, I got two more callers on the line. I got Dawn in the Zoom room, and I only touch one story for the morning. Good. Let's go to the callers. Good morning, caller.
For calling back. No, not sorry for calling back, but I had to call back. The gentleman who talked about why they charged the gentleman for the loaf of bread,
mm-hmm.
right? The church, East Street Gospel Chapel, had a man sent to jail for a bag of rolls when he broke into the church and took the bread out either earlier this year or the latter part of last year.
Mm-hmm.
The church.
Yeah.
Now you talking about the people in the food store could have taken the bread back. Why the church didn't let the gentleman just clean up around the church?
Yeah, a little restorative justice. A little restorative justice.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he got charged. He went to court.
Yeah.
The church sent him to court.
I feel you.
Okay.
I feel you. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, Dawn.
Aaron. I think the one thing on it, you can still hear me, Aaron?
Yeah, I can hear you. You on.
We do actually have live debates in this country during election season.
Mm-hmm.
They take place at the University of the Bahamas. Just wanted to do that, to say that. We've had them, I think, basically since, at least an attempt, basically since 2012 at the University of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to shout that out. They do take place. Now, the question is, do party leaders usually show up? The answer to that question is no. There should be more pressure from the public for this. Media does participate in these debates and producing them. So if the caller wants more, guest coordination between media and the University of the Bahamas, that's definitely something that's on the table. But they do happen. It's just that I think we need to do a better job at informing Bahamians of when they're happening.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
I'm recording them and publishing them.
Yes.
Absolutely. Dawn, I got a phone line and then I got some text here. I'm going to try squeezing in the last 3 minutes. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Did we miss you? Okay, let's take that Family Island line call. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah, on Friday, Scoogee, there's Ross who are in Lewis Street. West of Comfort Street. I told him to check with his, he's been there for months because even the banana trees and other trees in the yard have turned brown. I told him to contact his member of parliament by today.
Mm-hmm.
If he don't, that I will get back to him because I can send a text to Michael Pendon for him to have a representative so we could get cameras and the media to go and visit this site to Lewis Street.
So Lewis Street, west of Comfort Street.
Yeah, he's Scoogee on his show on Friday night. I told him. See, because this thing is supposed to be happening where you know, to the center on there. That's an environmental hazard.
Absolutely. Okay. Public safety issue.
Yeah, and we need some cameras on them because whoever's a member of parliament for that area, I think they're lousy. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Okay.
Thank you. Here's a text. Can you break down what side effects you think would be for charging a person for attempting suicide? Keep in mind the embarrassment. I'm not surprised about the man being charged for stealing bread because here, homeless people who seek shelter in abandoned homes are also charged for break-in, sent to jail, even if the home is halfway gone back to earth. But in the U.S., they encourage people to buy abandoned homes by selling it for a dollar, especially if you agree to restore it. Our laws are already demented, like 16-year-olds can consent to sex but can't drive or vote. And listen, in the U.S., at least 10 years ago, there was a stat that stuck with me. There are more abandoned homes in the U.S. than there are homes. It's a text. Aaron, we need to stop condemning these churches and we need to realize that the churches are led by God, which is why they make some decisions. Once we remember that, we should be good. Could you imagine the sinfulness this country could be lowered to if we didn't have a God-led body? Did you see what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, yeah, I saw what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. The question is, did you see what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Or have you actually sat down with a theologian so they could interpret it properly for you? Because the greater crime was not that men were raping men. It was that men were entertaining it and allowing it to happen for their own economic advantage and in some instances just for their own entertainment. See, that was it. That's it. That's the thing there, right? That's the thing there.
That's all like
there. Donna Soto. I was about to say.
I just said.
Yeah, here's a text. It says, Cleaver was so right. That's Cleaver Duncan, father's rights advocate. The fact that they don't have political debates shows the mindset of the political class and what they think of the masses. I like your conjugation of that word just now. It says, Aaron, the most grievous crime is suicide. Some people, we do believe that the most grievous crime is to know that there are people in your space, in the world with you that feel that way and you do nothing about it. You act like it has nothing to do with you. Here's another quick one. Good morning, Aaron and Dawn. The hotel opposite the Prime Minister's office where people are now parking on the median. The employees used to park in the PM's office parking lot. I don't know if they were asked to cease and desist from parking there and maybe the reason why they're now parking on the median. That's not what the reason why they're parking on the median. It's multifaceted. Like, so they opted, they say, okay, well, let's go park at Goodman's Bay. But the police don't patrol the area sufficiently for them to pick up their car without break-ins. Something like that. It's just a disregard. It's just a disregard for the very people that are building the product that you place your profits upon, you make your profits on. The very people who are building the country that you want us to celebrate you for. You can disregard them like that. It's a plantation. Anyway, y'all know King Harrison is... This King Harrison, boy, 40 years King Harrison is playing with Neil Diamond Touring Band. So every time you in that band, you say, why are they playing this song again? Why? Because of Bohemian on it, that's why. Anyway, today is the day to start loving yourself if you haven't already started. Don't forget, we can talk about Ghosts of Gombe a bit more for the week. It starts on the 31st through the weekend. Thank you to the players. Thank you to the winner. I hope you enjoy your tickets. Come pick them up at 12 today. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, how can I hurt when holding you?
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.